Thank you, Brother Sean. Look at one verse this morning, Hebrews 11. Now, Hebrews sounds like it ought to be in the Old Testament, doesn't it? But it's not. It's in the New Testament. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews specifically. I think probably the Apostle Paul did, but we don't know that for certain. I just know one thing. I'm glad somebody wrote it, aren't you? Amen? And we want you to look at that one verse near the end of Hebrews chapter 11. And here's what it says. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. I want to speak this morning on the subject, how to have a good report to God. How to have a good report to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the good spirit, for the good singing. And now, Lord, we come to the time that we preach your word. Lord, what a privilege it is for me to preach the word of God. And Lord, I don't take that lightly. I need your help this morning, Holy Spirit. I pray that you might help me to say those things that would be pleasing to the Father. I pray that if there's anybody here that's unsaved, that they might be saved today. Lord, help us to do our best to have a good report before you. Help us to be able to stand in that day when we all stand before you, Lord, and to hear you say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So have your will, have your way. Bind the forces of evil that would hinder the word of God being preached or received into the hearts and minds of the people. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Well, we all like to get good reports. I can remember when I was a student in school and it would come time to get your report cards and show them to your parents. Sad to say, I couldn't always say that I was thrilled about that. It wasn't always a good report on my report card. Sometimes it was. Sometimes the grades wouldn't be too bad, but they'd have something on there about his behavior. And it could be improved. Can you imagine that a teacher would say about me that my behavior could be improved? But I'm sure that several teachers would have agreed with that. But we all like to get good reports. A child, get a report card that has some A's and B's on it, can't wait to get home and show mom and dad they got a good report card. And then, of course, we like to get good reports from our doctor, don't we? If you go to the doctor and you get a physical and he says, "Well, I got to take a blood test and then we'll let you know in a day or so how your report came out." You're kind of waiting in anticipation until you get that report from the doctor, hoping that it will be a good report, that your cholesterol won't be too high and that your blood pressure will not be out of sight and so on and so forth. So we all like to get a good medical report. Now, we don't always get a good medical report when we go to the doctor. And so we think about that. And then some of you read the Wall Street Journal to find out what your stocks did the past day or whatever. And so you like to get good financial reports. You like to read that whatever you've invested in, the stock has gone up. And boy, that's a good report. Just kind of makes your day. Now, I don't have any stock. The closest to any stock that I have is we have four dogs. I guess you want to call livestock. But we don't have any stock. We've got some stock up there that we've been laying up. You know, the Bible says lay up treasures in heaven. Amen. So that's where our investments ought to be. But we all like to get a good report, whether it be physically, mentally, or financially. But have you ever thought about the matter of a spiritual report? After all, the spiritual report is more important than these other reports that I've mentioned. For instance, if you look there in verse 39, it says, "And these all having obtained a good report." Now, I don't think it means they obtained a good financial report or they obtained a good physical report or mental or whatever the case may be. I think it meant that they obtained a good spiritual report. And here's something you might want to think about. Everyone will give a report to God. Everyone. Every one of us in here today will give a report to God. Someday, the Bible says that we'll give a report to God. It says in the book of Romans 14, verse 12, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." So whether we like it or not, one day we're going to stand before God. I believe all believers will be at the judgment seat of Christ. And we will give God a report. We'll give an account of how we have lived our Christian lives. We'll give a report to God. But here's something folks don't think about. Not only will everyone give a report to God, but everyone will get a report from God. According to this verse, it says they obtained a good report. I believe that God is going to report to us what we did right, what we did wrong, and we'll find out what kind of report we had. We'll either hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," or we might possibly hear, "Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Now, according to my text, everyone mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, the whole chapter, got a good report. All right? If you'll notice that, please, again, Hebrews 11, verse 39. And these all, not some of them, but all of them, and you've got Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Abraham and Noah and Abel and all these that are mentioned in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, all of them got a good report. Now, the question is, how'd they do that? How could all of them that are mentioned in Hebrews 11 get a good report? And not only that, if we can find out how they got a good report from God, then all we've got to do is do what they did. Does that make sense to you? I mean, if we want to get a good report on our report card as students, the teacher may say to you, "Well, Susie over here, she got straight A's. All you got to do is what she did." If you'll do what she did, then you'll get straight A's, you know, that type of thing. And so if we can find out what all of these heroes, we call them, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, find out what they did to obtain a good report, then when we stand before God, then we'll obtain a good report. So let's find out what they are. First of all, it's clear that they had faith in God. They had faith in God. That may sound like a simple thing, but they had faith in God. You'd be surprised how many people have faith in different things. For instance, some people have faith in themselves. You're told by so-called success experts today that you've got to believe in yourself. And if you don't believe in yourself, you'll never really, you'll never really amount to anything. Success depends upon you believing in yourself. Whatever you can conceive and believe, that you will achieve. So the saying goes. But you see, to get a good spiritual report, that won't cut it. Believing in yourself is not going to get it done. If you want to get a good spiritual report, it's okay to believe in yourself to some point, but the Bible says we ought not to trust the arm of flesh. The arm of flesh, the old song says, will fail you and it'll fail me. And so some people, they have faith in themselves. Notice here in our text, verse 39, and these all having obtained a good report through what? Through faith. There it is. They had faith. Was it faith in themselves? I don't think so. If it was, you'll find out several of them really disappointed themselves. Abraham lied. Noah got drunk as soon as he got off the ark. I don't know if you knew that or not, but the Bible says he did. And not only did he get drunk, but he took all of his clothes off. It's in your Bible. He got drunk and naked. Now, that's not a very good testimony for a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But if he had trusted in himself, then we could, you know, I'm sure he was disappointed in himself after he did that. And then, of course, you've got others in there that Isaac actually repeated the same lie that his father Abraham did, lied about his wife. And so then you have David, an adulterer and a murderer. And Moses was a murderer. I mean, if you say these guys had faith in themselves, I don't think they would agree. They'd say, "No, I don't have any faith in me because I know I'm capable of doing anything, you know, that's wrong." And so, faith in themselves. And then some people have faith in their religion. There are some people that believe that if you that their church is more important than Christ. Now, I guess one of the bad habits I've got is calling things just like they are. But, you know, your dad did that, Sonny. You know, he didn't try to please anybody. He just tried to please the Lord. The thing I liked about Bus Hart, and boy, I miss him. I really do, was Bus was a Bible preacher. I mean, if it wasn't, he didn't get up and tell a whole lot of stories, unless they were Bible stories, but just preach the Word of God. And I like that, and we don't have enough of that today. And I know, Sonny, you and Jane would agree that your dad was a Bible preacher, and I've tried to be the same way in my ministry. I miss going to talk to him because I don't have any preachers. Now that I'm the old preacher, you know, he was the old preacher, and I'd go to the old preacher and talk to Bus. Now then, he's in heaven, and So now my son calls me, Tim calls me and talks to me. So I guess I'm just out of anybody being old enough to go talk to, Brother Ed. I'm older than everybody else, it seems, sometimes. But faith in your religion. Our Catholic friends, for instance, their faith is in the church. Now, it really is. But you got surprised, though, there are some Baptists that their faith is in the church. And so if your faith is in your religion or in yourself, or some people's faith is in human potential, I believe in mankind, I believe in humanity, well that's not going to get you to heaven. That'll not get you a good spiritual report. But who should your faith be in? Well, the person of God. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In other words, if your faith is not in God, you're not going to get a good report from God. Now that sounds simple to us. Well, I believe in God. Everybody believes in God. By the way, everybody don't believe in God. But it's interesting that the devil does. You know, isn't that something? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God, and yet the devil knows better than the fool. The devil's no fool, because the Bible said in the book of James that the demons believe and tremble. And so, sure, the devil and demons knows there's a God. The only difference is they don't have faith and trust in God. See, that's the difference. And so it's not faith in human potential. It's not faith in your religion or yourself. It's faith in the person of God. You must believe that he is. And that's the starting place. And then in the promise of God. Now this is an interesting point. If you'll notice verse 39 one more time. And these all, having obtained a good report, through what? Faith. There it is. They had faith. Received not the promise. Now notice it's singular. It doesn't say received not the promises. It says the promise. Well, what in the world did they... What were they promised? What was it that these Old Testament saints had faith in that gave them a good report? Well, the answer is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15. In the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 15, Adam and Eve have rebelled against God, and they have taken of the fruit of tree of knowledge of good and evil. They disobeyed God and, of course, plunged the whole mankind into sin because of that. And then after God calls Adam to accountability and Eve to accountability and the devil, then he says in verse 15, God gives a promise. That's what verse 15 is. Genesis 3:15. God says, and I will put enmity, the word means war, between thee is the devil, between the devil and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now everybody look at me for a moment. That's a promise. That's the promise that those in Hebrews 11 verse 39 look forward to. You say, preacher, I don't see any promise there. Oh, yeah, there is. As a matter of fact, and I know it's early in the morning and it's hard to digest maybe something real spiritually knowledgeable this early of the morning, but there is a promise concerning the first and second coming of Jesus Christ in that verse. Now, let me show it to you. If you'll notice chapter 3 and verse 15, God says, I'll put enmity or war between thee and the woman. All right. And between thy seed and her seed. Now, that means, everybody look at me, that means the devil, God is telling the devil, your seed, the seed of the devil, is going to be in conflict with the seed of the woman. But it's interesting that it says seed of the woman. It means the offspring of the woman. What it simply means is this, that, and notice it says, and it, the offspring of her seed, it shall bruise thy head. Whose head? The devil's head. and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, I know, again, this is a little bit deep. It's not shallow water here. But I want you to understand, when the Bible says to the devil, you're going to bruise his heel, that's in reference to the first coming of Jesus Christ. You said, how did that happen? How did the devil bruise the heel of Jesus Christ? Because when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, he hung there with a nail between in his feet, both feet, and then nails in his hands. And every time that he would try to get a breath, he would have to pull himself up on the cross to breathe. Otherwise, when he let down, it would cut off his air. So he was constantly, the back of his heels were touching the cross, and it was bruising his heels. All right? In a literal physical sense, that took place. The devil was bruising his heel. I think in a spiritual sense, you could say that he was bruised for our iniquities. Our sins bruised the Lord Jesus Christ, Isaiah 53. He was bruised for our iniquities. Not only his heels, but of course, his whole body was bruised for our sins. That's talking about the first coming of Christ. And so when it says here in Genesis 3:15, it shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Bruise his heel is in reference to the first coming of Christ. Bruise his head is in reference to the second coming of Christ. Can I show you this? Look at Revelation chapter 20, and notice, please, if you will, verse 10, speaking of the devil. This is a promise. Genesis 3:15 is a promise of a coming Redeemer. That's what they had their faith in. Listen to verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. The first time Jesus came, he came to die on the cross. He came as the Lamb of God. The second time he comes, he'll come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he will bruise the head of the devil. Not only will he bruise his head, he will cast him into the lake of fire, according to that. That promise is, that's the first promise that you have in the Bible of the coming Redeemer. Preacher, I still don't get what you're talking about. Well, go back to our text and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Look at verse 39 one more time. 11. How did they get a good report? And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What was the promise? The promise was the coming, that Jesus would come, that the Redeemer would come. Did Abraham see him come? Maybe in the spirit, but not literally. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Noah and all these Old Testament saints, they never saw Jesus. But they were promised that he was going to come in Genesis 3:15. Do you see what I'm talking about? That's what kept them going. Preacher, I still don't quite get it. Well, maybe you'll get it this way. All the Old Testament saints in Hebrews chapter 11 look forward to the coming Redeemer. All right? That was the promise that Jesus was coming, that he would come and deliver them. All right? They believe that promise. No matter what else they may have believed, they believe that. That differentiated them from everybody else that lived during the times they lived. And you could take all of the Old Testament saints. Old Testament saints, Old Testament believers are saved by faith in the coming promise. We're saved. We on the other side of the cross are saved looking back to the promise that was kept when Jesus died on the cross. Do you see that? That's what it's talking about here. These Old Testament believers received a good report because they looked forward to the promise. Even though they never really saw it, they looked forward to it by what? By faith. And because of that, they obtained a good report. Number two. They were obedient to God. How many would like to have a good report to God? Well, hear God give you a good report when you stand before him. Because you are going to stand before him. I am too. So then every knee shall bow. Not some, but every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess. And so we're all going to be there. But not all of us are going to get a good report. Unless we've had faith in God. Can I just hit that one more time? What is faith in God? Is that just believing a mental belief in God? No, it's not. Belief in a spiritual sense is trust. That's what it means. Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, you don't find the word faith. you find the word believe. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But the word believe, when the Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul and Silas said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." What did that mean? It meant that they had to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe in God is to trust in God, and to trust completely in God and nothing else for your salvation. God alone. So that's what faith in God is. Faith in God. Faith is not a mysterious thing. It's just believing God and His Word. That's the definition of it. But not only did they have faith, they were obedient to God. Look, their obedience to God proved their faith, and so does yours. That's what James talks about when he says faith without works is dead. I'll show you my faith by my works, okay? He's not saying you're saved by works. He's just saying that true faith will always produce obedience to God. Always, always. If you're disobedient to God and you say you have faith in God, you're fooling yourself. They were obedient to God. Let's take Noah, for instance. Look, please, at chapter 11 and verse 7. The book of Hebrews. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Everybody look at me for a moment. It means this. God said, "Noah, there's going to be a flood. It's going to be water. It's going to fall from the sky." Now, let me tell you something. That had never happened before. Noah had never seen rain. The Bible says the earth was watered from beneath. All right? It had never rained one drop, and yet God said, "Look, I'm going to send a flood. It's going to rain 40 days and 40 nights. I want you to build this ark and save your family, all right? And just do it." But it all began with his faith in God's word, right? That's if you're going to have a good report, you've got to have faith in God. But then he proved it by his obedience. Look, please, if you will, at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, there's his faith, moved, there's the word, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. What does it mean? It meant when God said, "Noah, I want you to believe me, I'm going to cause it to rain." And Noah could have said, "Well, Lord, it's never rained, but I don't know what rain is." He didn't question God. He just said, the Bible says, he moved with fear. It means the word moved implies obedience. He didn't do like a lot of us do. God tells us to do something, we'll say, "Well, I'll get it when I get around to it." No, he immediately, I believe that very day, Noah started building that ark. And if he did work on it for 120 years, I don't know, may have. We don't know that for sure. It's implied that he did. But regardless, his working on the ark, his moving with fear, his obedience to God proved he had real faith. Had he said, "I've got faith in God, but I'm not going to build an ark," well, that would have proved he had no faith. Because God had told him, "I'm going to cause it to rain. Now, Noah, if you want to save yourself, you've got to have that ark." By the way, that ark is symbolic of Jesus Christ. He is our ark of salvation. Amen. And so obedience always follows. So if you want to have a good report before God, you've got to obey. Look at verse 8 in our text. The Bible says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, what did he do? Obeyed. Underline it in your Bible. Hebrews 11:8. Obeyed. He went out not knowing whither he went. He believed when God said, "I want you to go," and God didn't say, "I want you to go to Cairo," or "I want you to go to Jerusalem." He didn't say that. He said, "I just want you to get out of here. Take your family and get out of here." By the way, he lived at that time in Iraq. It was called Chaldea back in those days. He lived in the city of Ur, Abraham did. And God said, "Get your family and leave here." Now, he either would believe God or he wouldn't believe God, but we know that he believed God because the Bible says he obeyed God. He said, "Okay, family, let's go. Let's get out of here. God said to do it. I believe him." See, there's the faith. If you want to have a good report to God, you've got to have faith in God, and then you've got to have obedience to God. Noah had obedience to God, and he built the ark. Abraham had obedience to God, and he left the Ur of the Chaldees and headed towards the promised land. Preacher, put that in our vernacular. Put it where we can understand it, where it is relevant to us today. All right, here it is. If you want to have a good report, now are you listening? If you want to have a good report before God like these did, then you've got to obey God. See, a lot of people got this idea, well, I get saved, nothing else to do. Well, there isn't anything else to do to be saved. Salvation is complete, but God wants us to do something with the salvation that He has given us. Do you see that? I'm going to give you these very quick. I'm going to quote the scriptures rather than give them to you. And these following things are what you need to do to prove your faith. You say, well, I've got faith in God. Well, let's just find out if you do or not. If you want to get a good report from God, you've got to have faith and obedience to God. What's the first act of obedience for a believer? Baptism. The Bible says in Acts 2, verse 41, they that gladly received His word were baptized that very day. 3,000 of them got baptized. Why? Those that had received His word, that had believed what God had said by faith, their baptism proved their faith. You say, preacher, do you have to be baptized to be saved? No, you don't. But you have to be baptized in order to have a good report before God. Do you see that difference? In other words, here's a person that gets saved. They're going to be in heaven. But it can't be said they had a good report because they were not obedient to the Lord. And the Bible teaches very plainly, Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Baptism is important. Out of obedience, faith gets you to heaven. Faith in God, faith in Christ, faith in His shed blood. Do you understand that? But obedience, you see, is what God wants you to do after you've been saved. And that first thing is to get baptized. And you cannot picture that with sprinkling or pouring. Matter of fact, sprinkling and pouring is not found in the Bible. Baptizing babies is not found in the Bible. You can only picture the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ by taking someone and putting them under the water, picturing the grave and picturing death, and raise them up, picturing the resurrection. That's the only way it can be done. And that's the Bible truth. So if you want to have a good report, you better get baptized. You say, well, I haven't been baptized. Well, then if you die today, you'll stand before God. You'll go to heaven, but you'll not have a good report. I'm just telling you. Boy, I could spend time on every one of these, Brother Sean. Church attendance. It's not that important. Not important to get you to heaven. It's important to have a good report, though. You say, why? Because God's told us to do it. Hebrews 11, verse 12, Hebrews 10, 25. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Matter of fact, those 3,000 that got saved in verse 41, that got baptized, you'll find out that they immediately started breaking bread and having fellowship in verse 42 of Acts chapter 3. What's it mean? I mean, soon they got saved, they got baptized, and then soon they got baptized, they started having fellowship with one another. Person says, well, I don't have to go to church to be saved. They're right. You don't have to, but you have to go to church to have a good report. I didn't write these things. God did. God says for you to do it. If you don't do it, you're disobedient. Then how in the world can you have a good report when you stand before God? How about Bible study? You say it's not important for me to read my Bible. It is if you want to have a good report. The Bible says study to show thyself approved unto God. That means if you don't study, then you're not showing yourself approved unto God, and it means you will not obtain a good report. You ever think of it that way? You know, us Baptists are like, oh, salvation by grace, isn't that wonderful? And it is. It's wonderful that we're saved by grace plus nothing, minus nothing. We're saved by the grace of God when we repent of our sins. But God expects us, after we're saved, to obey Him. And that is the first thing is baptism. The second thing is getting into a church where you can get the Word of God fed to you, where you can learn more about God. It means get into your Bible to study yourself, show yourself approved unto God. How about witnessing? Jesus says to the disciples in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. If you never witness for Christ, don't expect to have a good report before God. How about giving? The Bible says, given it shall be given unto you. You don't regularly give to God? Well, then when you stand before God, and by the way, the Bible teaches upon the first day of the week, lay by yourselves the money. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what it means. On the first day of the week, which is today, all right, you're to give to God. The Bible, you say, why should I give to God? To have a good report. You'll be in heaven, but you won't get a good report if you don't. Is there anything else? I'm going to hit these very quickly. How about praying? The Bible says pray without ceasing. If you don't pray, then you'll not get a good report. How about loving? The Bible says love one another. And people, they shall know that you are my children by your love one for the other. If you're not loving your brother and sister in Christ, you'll not have a good report before God. You say, I don't like them. Didn't say you have to like them. It said you have to love them. Amen? You may not like their cotton-picking ways, but you ought to love them in spite of it. I'll be honest with you. Some Christians are real hard to love. But the Bible says to do it, and I'm going to do it whether, you know, but it doesn't mean I have to like them and have to spend a lot of time with them. Amen? So, you see what I'm saying? You and I are commanded to love. This commandment I give you, Jesus said, that you love one another. If you don't have love in your heart for your brothers and sisters in Christ, you'll not get a good report before God. Let me give you one more. Forgiveness. The Bible teaches that if you don't forgive men their trespasses, neither will God forgive you your trespasses. He's talking to Christians there. If you die with unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody, you'll not have a good report before God. That's the way I understand it. It begins with faith in God, then it continues with obedience to God. And if you're disobedient, God says to forgive somebody and you won't do it, don't expect to get a good report. Well, let me give you the last one. The last one is really interesting. If you want to have a good report before God, you've got to have faith in God. And then you have got to have obedience to God because obedience proves your faith. Right? That's not hard to understand. Everybody gets that. But this last one is a tough one. If you want to have a good report from God, you got to suffer for God. Ooh, I don't like that one, do you? I wish that wasn't in there. And these people that preach a health and wealth gospel and that if you are really what you ought to be for God, you're never going to have any troubles and you're never going to get sick and you're going to have all the money you want, they don't know anything about their Bibles. The Bible teaches that we're going to suffer. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation. That's the bad news. Good news is, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Yeah, that's the good news. We see both sides of it. But here's what I want you to see. If you want to have a good report to God, you've got to be willing to suffer. You don't have to follow me. Just listen to it, please. Who, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. By the way, everybody look at me. When it says they were sawn asunder, what they would do is they would take the Christian, put them in a hollow log, then they would get a cross-cut saw, and they would saw the log into with the body of the Christian inside it. They were sawn asunder, the Bible says. That doesn't sound to me like health and wealth gospel. That doesn't sound to me like, you know, this is going to be a good day for you. They were not having a good day. All right? And if you look, please, at the rest of that, the Bible says they were slain with a sword. They wandered in sheepskins. You know, they didn't have rings and necklaces Botany 500 suits and whatever. They were in sheepskins. You know, you look at TBN and some of these people look like, you know, they're sitting with all the gold furniture around them and they just look so prosperous. And so what they're saying by all these niceties is if you really want to be right with God, do what we say and you'll have what we have here. All right? But the Bible says the real Christians had sheepskins. They didn't look too good. They wouldn't look too good on TBN. And the Bible says not only were they in sheepskins, listen to this, they're being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report. How did they obtain a good report? Because they were willing to suffer for the cause of Christ. The Bible says all who live godly shall suffer persecution. If you are not suffering persecution, mark it down. You're not living godly. And mark this down too. You're not going to get a good report. You see, you only suffered. These people only suffered because they wouldn't give in to Nero and to the Roman emperor. And they were told to shut up. Don't you talk about Jesus anymore. They wouldn't shut up. They just kept witnessing and whatever. And so they said, well, we'll just starve you out. And you'll have to wander in, you know, mountains and deserts. But they, okay, that's what we'll do. Folks, let me tell you something. We are a spoiled generation of people. We have never suffered hardly at all. But don't you be surprised around the corner if it doesn't wait for at least our children to suffer. I don't want to suffer. I don't want my kids to suffer. But I'm telling you, right at this present time, there's a lot of persecution on Christians in America. And it is going to get worse. It's going to get to where I can't get on radio and preach against homosexuality. They're not going to allow it. It'll be hate speech. And they'll say, well, here's your choice. You can either go to jail or you can stop it. And so I'm going to have to make a choice. Will I preach what the Bible says or will I stop it? Well, if I want to get a good report, you know, the old saying, put up or shut up. Persecution will do that to you. I don't know what I'll do. I'm not going to stand up and say, well, I would stand no matter what. If they burned me to the stake, I would stand for God. I think I would, but you don't know until that time comes what you're going to do. I would hope the same grace that saved me would give me the grace to stand any kind of persecution, whatever it may come. Folks, I hope you got this message. If you didn't get anything but this, it's that you and I are going to get a report from God. It's either going to be a good report or a bad report. If we want a good report, we'll have faith in God. We'll be obedient to God, and we'll suffer for God. If we're willing to do those three, that's what they did. And the Bible says, and they all received a good report. But if we say, well, I'm not going to get baptized. I'm not going to attend church. I'm not going to give. Well, then don't be mad at me when you stand before God and I'm standing there and I hear God say, well, I can't, not a very good report here on you. You sure didn't give much to the Lord. And no, you weren't willing to suffer very much for the Lord. And you knew what you ought to do, but you didn't do it. Well, I'm sorry. I just can't give you a good report. Well, they do that in the military. Call you in and give you a good report. I remember when the general would come and give a white glove inspection. Boy, we had to make sure everything. You know, I can remember, you know, getting down on my hands and knees and scrubbing things and getting everything ready for the report that we'd get. And if we got a good report, if our platoon got a good report, man, we thought that was great. You know, you're going to think it's greater when you stand before God, because we're all going to, and we're going to either get a good report or a bad report. And I've told you how to do it, and I hope we all will do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we know salvation is by grace. It has nothing to do with our obedience as far as doing anything. We can't do anything to be saved. But Lord, you expect us to do something after we're saved. And so, Lord, if there's some here today that's not been saved, may they realize they can never have a good report until they get saved. That's the starting place. And then, Lord, after we're saved, after we put our faith and trust in you, then you expect us to obey your word. And, Lord, if we want to have a good report, we've got to be obedient. And then, Lord, we've got to be willing to suffer. Suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ if we want to get a good report. I pray that we all, when we stand before God, will say, Lord, I've done these things that they did. And so, Lord, I'm expecting a good report, not because I deserve it, but I've done what your word has said to do in Jesus' name. Let's all